This is Taz.
The mood is about to change.
The Human Podcast Machine.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
All right, all right. What's up, everybody? This is Taz, the Human Podcast Machine, and welcome to my Ring of Honor winner-take-all pay-per-view reaction. My react to this Ring of Honor event. It was a live pay-per-view. You know, it was, I don't remember how much it was, $45 or something like that. So I think Ring of Honor, their brand of what they do, they've always kind of carved, they have for years carved out their niche. You know, I'm obsessed with that word. And they've carved this thing out where I really think they do a tremendous job of selling the sport of pro wrestling, the pure competition of the wrestling contest, the sport of the contest. You know, I think that that's something that you really don't see much in mainstream pro wrestling. And they've been doing this for a long time. And speaking of long time, this was their 13th anniversary. So this was a huge show. Winner Take All was the name of it. The thing that jumps out to me is the way they sell the sport end of the business. You know, before every match, what they did, which was really cool, was they had a tail of the tape for every single match. You know, I mean, I remember as a broadcaster, I've done that in WWE, done it in TNA, a whole bunch, but for main events, so like big title matches. You know, they did it, I mean, unless I'm wrong, I think they did it on every single match. So I think that makes it feel more like Hunter Way MMA handles their business, you know, from UFC and other MMA companies before each fight or boxing does. You know, it makes it feel bigger. And I think perception's reality. And what we perceive as the viewer, we're going to believe. And you're giving me a graphic telling me how many years this guy has wrestled compared to that guy, how much he weighs, how tall he is, whatever his style, what his strengths are, whatever, via graphic with a photo of the guy or gal. I think that's smart. I think to do it before every match. I really do. I mean, I don't think every company should do that, but I think that's something that Ring of Honor has done with a lot of things that makes them original and different. And that's one of them. And that lends to the credo of selling the sport end of the business, which I've said a few times here in this particular reaction, because it's something that I believe in. And I think New Japan does another. I've talked about that here on the Human Podcast Machine, another podcast, how well of a job New Japan does with selling the sport of pro wrestling business. And a lot of the Japanese companies do. And I believe some of the companies in the UK, but the more popular ones like New Japan, you know, in Japan and here in the United States, Ring of Honor does a great job. So, you know, to talk about a few of the matches. I thought the pay-per-view was really good. I thought there was tons of great physical action. I mean, Ring of Honor just for years has had the ability to just find talent that are just combined of tremendous athleticism. They come off filled with pride and passion in their work, their promos, and they just do a great job of letting that ooze off the TV screen. They really do. And this was the same with this pay-per-view, with Winner Take All. It was the exact same feel you got watching the guys and girls compete in this thing here. I mean, it just seemed, they just seemed passionate. They were in Las Vegas at the Orleans Hotel, casino or hotel. I'm sure it's a casino. Most hotels that have casinos attached to it. And it was packed. It was packed in there. It wasn't a gigantic building. I don't know how many people they had, you know, but it was they were live, man. It was a typical ruckus, passionate, hardcore wrestling crowd. They knew all the right things to chant, when to chant them. And you know, people were really into the show. And I thought from the first match on, I mean, the matches were great. I mean, the first match, you know, I'll just talk about a couple of matches real quick. I mean, Cedric Alexander, I believe he worked with Matt Sydal, who used to be Evan Bourne, for those WWE fans that aren't familiar with Ring of Honor too much. Matt Sydal is one of the most underrated, probably, wrestlers worldwide. This guy was amazing when he was Evan Bourne in WWE, and he's still amazing. The guy is just a stud. And a super, super good guy. I've got to know him. We worked in WWE together. I haven't talked to the guy in a long time, but always as a gentleman, a professional. I'm assuming he's the same way. Never met Cedric Allen, Alexander, I should say, but this guy is something special. This young kid can go. I mean, big, thick, muscular guy is Alexander. And man, he can go. He can work. I mean, I thought, look, when you kick off a pay-per-view, you got to have the right match. You got to have, and I talked about that in the past here. I think it was with the last WWE pay-per-view reaction that I had. And Fastlane, that was the show. It was the Fastlane pay-per-view. I think that was the name. I get confused with all the names, folks. I'm sorry. There's so many names for so many years. From all my years in wrestling, different wrestling companies and being an announcer, the names end up blending together. So, yeah, I talked about my opinions on how important the first match is to create the pace of the show and set the tone of the evening. And I thought Seidel and Alexander did an amazing job of this. These two cats were amazing. The only thing that sucked about this match is that it was first, meaning that you kind of forgot about it as the night went on, but because it was so much other good action. But this match was just amazing. This people need to look at this match, watch this match back, and it was great. And I really thought that it set the pace and set the tone of the evening. Tip my cap to both these guys. Great job, great match, great chemistry. I think we went to Moose. This kid, this big guy, big NFL guy, Moose, went against Mark Briscoe, and you know, another unique type of match where a guy like Mark Briscoe, who's a veteran, who could basically work with anybody, just one of the most unique looking guys, him and his brother, they're just so unique. And I'm going to have them on the Human Podcast Machine here soon, by the way, as guests. So that's some new news. And this Moose Cat, man, this guy is just something special. Big, athletic guy. He did a drop kick. Briscoe set himself up nice on the buckle. And this dude, Moose, did this drop kick deal, man. Unbelievable for a guy this size. The dude's got to be 6'6". Probably over 300 pounds-ish. Super athletic guy. Love the physicality in the match. This guy, Moose, he does a spear. We've seen a lot of spears in the business, right? From big guys, little guys, whatever. This guy does a spear. And, he won the match via his spear. And he kind of rolls through the spear. He's so athletic for such a big guy. He spears you and rolls through. And it's kind of, he's up, like, on his feet or on his butt. It's pretty impressive. My only knock on this match, I don't know if they got confused on time or if they just were pressured, or I know there was a lot of other stuff going on because it was only the second match. My only complaint on it was, and it's not a bad complaint, it was just that it wasn't long enough. I mean, I wanted to see these guys wrestle more. It was great. It just that the match went a little quick for my liking, but doesn't take away from what these guys did out there. I thought it was great. Before the match, they did a package on Moose, like an image package to kind of get you to get to understand who this guy is, like a little profile package or character development package, as we would call it inside the business. And, you know, I think Ring of Honor, their packages are kind of raw looking, R-A-W, raw looking, right? They're kind of gritty looking, raw looking, and I love it. Again, it's their niche, right? It's kind of cool. ECW-esque, that's how we were back in the day. We had no money, so it's like, it was just Paul just being innovative. But I think Ring of Honor does the same type deal. They have a certain type of packaging, the way they do it. It's very like almost a director's cut style. The only thing that could be a negative is that fans in this day and age are so used to, you know, the way they watch wrestling, that WWE has been the hood ornament of the business for so many years. And then TNA behind them, the way TNA and WWE for years have done TV production and video packaging, it's been so sleek and streamlined and clean and high grade, high def, yada yada, that I wonder if the casual fan looks at a Ring of Honor package and it's like, wow, that doesn't really look as good. It doesn't look as professional in rock and roll quotes, right? Professional, which is not true. I think the Ring of Honor packages are very professional. I think they have a certain gritty look to them. And I know they placate to their hardcore fan base, which is their loyalty and their loyal fans, which I totally get and I respect. I'm a fan of their brand. I wouldn't be doing this reaction to it if I wasn't a fan of the Ring of Honor brand. But I do like the packages and the way they look. But I do think that the casual fan might think, well, it doesn't look like the WWE stuff. Well, that's because it's not. It's not supposed to. It's their own niche. You know, it's their own thing, man. So, it's there aren't something real good here. And I think that's why they've been around for 13 strong years. I thought it was a very Very cool package on Moose to get to know this guy is and his background in the NFL and yada yada and what coaches have said about him. Then it was like a six man. Well, it was a three team deal match, and it was Addiction, which is Daniels and Kazarian, which those guys are just always awesome. Kingdom, which was Bennett and Tavern, and younger team, and they're great. And then the Bullet Club was supposed to be, well, it was just end up being Machine Gun, Carl Anderson by himself. For those who follow Doc Gallows on Twitter, he tweeted that he was pissed off because he was screwed over via the airlines because of the weather. He could not get to the show, could not get to the town, which I could tell you, man, from experience, very frustrating. I mean, I've been in that role, man, and it sucks when that happens. It's not about money. It's not about, I can't get there or make my payday or, you know, my ego. I want to perform. Nah, it's not. You feel like there's an obligation. And I know Doc Gallows personally, and he's a great guy, and he's a true pro. So when he tweets, and I'm paraphrasing, that, hey, no one's more pissed than me, he meant that. You know, I mean, it's beyond your control. You're handcuffed due to the weather, due to the airlines. I've been a victim, like many in my business, to the airlines many a time, and it's probably not going to end. So it's very frustrating. So I felt bad when I read the guy's tweet, and I thought Ring of Honor did the right thing the way they handled it. The announcers did a good job, Carino and Kevin Kelly, telling the truth. You know, initially they let Machine Gun Carl Anderson, he was about to cut a promo before the match happened in the ring, and they did the right thing. They were gonna let the talent tell you. And I don't know what the concept of the promo was. I watched the promo by Carl Anderson, but it was I don't think he covered that Doc Gallows was stuck due to weather. He basically just said, you know, my partner can't get here. I'm here to fight by myself, and you know, and he did the right thing. I'm a kick-ass guy. It's Ring of Honor. I want to take all. I'm in the Bullet Club. I'm part of the Bullet Club. We kill people. Yada yada. And I'll fight these other four guys by myself. And he got a big pop, and it was done well. But then I think it was Kevin Kelly on Play by Play who brought the story forward and told the truth. He said Anderson is alone because Doc Gallows is stuck via travel. And that's perfect, because especially in this day and age, announcers can't lie anymore. You know, especially when the talent's tweeting stuff, you can't ignore what's on social media and what's on websites and, well, credible websites. You know, so let's say Ring of Honor's website put out, hey, Doc Gallows can't make it to the show because, you know, he's screwed over with travel. You know, the announcers can't go out there and lie, because then you lose your credibility. And they didn't. Carino and Kelly did the right thing and handled it the right way, I thought. You know, and it was a physical matchup where, you know, Kingdom pinned Machine Gun because he was the solo guy. That's the smart booking, you know. And I got a little I had nightmares when I watched the finish. It was a spike pile driver off the ropes. Well, that's how I broke my neck. So from, you know, Too Cold Scorpio and Dean Malenko. So I cringed when I watched it. It was the similar type of spiked pile driver. So, but that was my own issues. So, but yeah, it was a good matchup. I mean, Daniels and Kaz looked great. I like Kingdom a lot. And Carl Anderson, I'm a fan of. The guy's just tremendous. Only thing, and I tweeted about it and people jumped on it. I mean, and I was quasi joking, but two of the teams were wearing the same color tights. They were wearing blue. And that's like something that just drives me crazy. It's like a real pet peeve, you know. And I've complained about that, you know, in my time in TNA. I'm like, why, you know, sometimes the boys only have one pair of tights with them. It's almost not their fault, or someone's got to tell them, or you don't know what color a guy's going to wear. But for me, everybody, like when I, in my heyday, everybody knew I wore black and orange, so everybody just stood away from it, you know. So, but guys who wear different colors, man, you got to communicate a little bit, or the office has got to communicate. And it's just, you know, it was a little weird seeing, you know, four guys, and they're not the first guys to do this. It's happened in other companies. It's not the end of the world. It's just, as a former wrestler, it's something that just, like, I'm anal when it comes to that stuff, just me. But the match was great, so forget the color of their tights. The match was kick-ass for sure. And again, real quick, back to the thing with Machine Gun being solo. Unless he did it as promo trial, I don't think Machine Gun did. I don't think the announcers did. It could have. I had some stuff going on in my house, so I was watching it. I was paying attention for the most part during this deal here. But I think that it could have been cool for somebody to explain there were other members of the Bullet Club in the building, you know, meaning AJ Styles and the Young Bucks. And, you know, I mean, I think that you got to explain, like, hey, those guys, we know they're booked in matches. They're busy. I'll take these guys on. I'm paraphrasing here. I'll take these guys on myself. You know, my other brothers are here. You know, that type of thing. That might have been kind of cool. I could be overthinking it because as a guy who's, you know, guy who's from the business, like, I think of those things. So when I see a big logo come out, when AJ's out with the Bullet Club sign, and then I see, you know, the Young Bucks come out with a big Bullet Club logo on their Tron, you know, I'm like, and they got it on their trunks. I'm like, well, maybe Anderson should have mentioned it, you know, and that's me being picky, which sometimes I could do. Again, minor stuff. You know, and at this point, there was, like I said, I think 3-4 matches, and you heard Steve Corino, the color commentator, talk a lot about the ropes around the ring. That was a different type of rope, different type of ring. It was, as opposed to a cable rope, it was a rope. And, you know, he was explaining that there is a difference to when you're in there wrestling and you see some guys were slipping a little bit or losing their footing on it. And it can screw you up for sure. And I'm not a guy who used to jump off the ropes, but I've wrestled a bunch of guys who used to jump off ropes. And, you know, even just hitting the ropes, when you're used to a cable ring, now, give you a real quick crash course on rings here, okay? Most rings are 18-foot rings, 18 square, right? WWE, they use a 20-square ring. They've always used a bigger ring because Vince always booked bigger guys, so he wanted a bigger ring. And their ring, the WWE ring, is 20 by 20, and it's rope. It's actual rope, like you saw tonight at Ring of Honor, but it's a thicker rope than Ring of Honor used tonight. Normally, Ring of Honor uses what TNA uses, which New Japan uses, ECW used to use, WCW used to use, NWA used to use. So it's an 18-foot cable rope system, okay? Which I loved wrestling. I mean, that to me was the best. I mean, when I went to WWE, I had to get used to that gigantic ring, and I'm not a big guy, so the ropes were even higher. The WWE ring was built for big dudes. That's what they wanted. They wanted a bigger ring, and they got it. And it's a tougher ring to work, and it's a stiff ring. It's a rope ring, ropes as opposed to cables, as I'm saying. But this ring tonight was kind of a unique deal. It was an 18-foot ring, I could tell just by looking at it, but it didn't have cables, and Corino kept pointing it out. It had ropes. Now, for the average fan, it's like, well, what does that matter? Well, it does matter. It changes changes the way you work a little bit, especially those guys like an AJ Styles or Young Bucks who are going to fly off those ropes and a bunch of other young talent, you know, whatever, Roderick Strong and all these other guys. I mean, guys that are flying around. I mean, it changes the way you work. So, you know, I think Corino did a good job pointing it out. I do think it got to a point where, all right, Steve, I got it. You know, he kept talking about it. He kept going on and on. A couple of matches into it, I'm thinking, they're going to build an angle here in this main event where the ropes are going to snap. I really thought he was leading the audience that the ropes are going to snap because he kept talking about it. But I think maybe he was just trying to hammer it home, or maybe somebody was in his ear saying, hey, explain the difference of the ropes for that it looks different and all this jazz. So, but that's just my take on when Corino was talking about the ropes. But I think he did a good job explaining it, you know. The other match that I want to talk about real quick, well, a couple of matches actually, was BJ Whitmer and Roderick Strong. I thought was a really good match. I like Roderick Strong. Always liked Strong. Always was real good. He always reminded me of Dean Malenko. Something about him, like his subtle mannerisms in the ring, especially when you see him from behind, like the way he moves his body, his feet. He just reminded me of Dean Malenko so much. I've seen him wrestle a lot, and he just always reminds me. I don't know what it is. They don't look like him. It's just something about him. I don't know. Just my own thing in my head. It just reminds me of Dean. And in the beginning of the match, Jimmy Jacobs was at the announce desk, and you know, Kevin Kelly said he was there, and I was just a little surprised that Ring of Honor didn't have a camera there to show him right away that he was at the announce desk or putting headsets on. They just showed a quick glimpse from Kevin Kelly's side across Corino, and you just saw a little bit of Jimmy Jacobs. I think, my opinion, when you have a new voice at the desk, a guest, you got to show him, you know, and I think that's a very important thing. And, you know, WWE does a great job of that for many years, the way their production's done, and I think TNA, when the shows were on the road more, well, the announcers, I should say, were on the road more, did a good job of that, too. So you got to show, in my opinion, you have to show that guest. And I don't think they did that there. They just showed him real quick. But, you know, again, a little picky thing. Good match, real good match. Roderick Strong won the match. You know, again, he's just a tremendous competitor. Looks great. ODB wrestled Maria. Okay, and you know, it's still weird. All the matches I've called of ODB when she was in TNA, when I see her in Ring of Honor, it's still weird for me to see her there. But she's a great performer. I'm a fan of her work. I'm a fan of her personally. Maria, God, man, I'll tell you. I remember her in WWE when she came in and knew her there. She is just so different now and for the better. She's really just a fighter and a competitor, and she looks great, and it's just a totally different gimmick, and I think it's great. Congratulations to her. I mean, I really, really just wanted to say I just thought that she looks great, and the gimmick is great along with Kingdom, and that she's the queen of the Kingdom, the whole deal. I think it's cool, and they did a little deal in the beginning of this thing where she said she was pregnant, and it was a ruse, and then her husband came in, attacked the baby faces from behind, ODB and Briscoe, you know, and then the match kind of, I want to say settled down, but it got a little crazy. There was some run-ins and it got a little nuts, and with Michael Bennett getting involved. I mean, Maria got kicked in the face by Michael Bennett inadvertently, and then she got covered by, I couldn't believe they did this. She got covered by ODB, and then she kicked out. I was shocked. I got to throw a flag on that. You just can't have her kick out or can't have her get kicked. I understand it's for the pop, and I'm not one of these old school guys that's like, that shit sucks. They didn't sell anything. Nah, I'm fine with high-paced matches that guys aren't selling stuff. But when a girl gets kicked in the face by a guy the size of Michael Bennett, I think that's a little rough to have her get kicked out of that. I don't think it does Michael Bennett any good when that happens for his kick. It doesn't do ODB any good when that happens, my view. And the announcers, which I don't like to talk negative of announcers because I'm an announcer and I personally like those guys, and I've made a lot of mistakes as an announcer, and I'm sure I'll make more going forward. But the announcers never really put her in danger. It was a little too much ha-ha, meaning Maria, when she got kicked in the face. Like, you know, like, I think that's got to be like a oh my God moment. Oh, God, I hope she's okay. Oh, I don't know how she kicked out. You really got to put that young lady in danger. And I just, again, I'm armchair quarterback in here. I don't think that they did that. I think that little microcosm of that match wasn't good, that part. But for the most part, I thought the girls had a good match. There was a lot of stuff going on. You know, but all in all, I thought it was pretty good. AJ Styles' work, which is just amazing. He looks great. He works great. And he worked against ACH. And, man, whew, this kid's got a future. Just tremendous. Thickly muscular built. Just short of thick guy. And just so athletic. What a match. I don't even know where to begin. I mean, we'll just watch this match. Just buy the pay-per-view or get it wherever you're going to get it. AJ Styles and ACH, it was awesome. I mean, it was just awesome. It was awesome to see AJ. I mean, I don't really know what else to say about it. It was just, there was not a thing wrong, in my opinion, with the whole deal. Just great. I just loved it, big time. Tag team titles, Young Bucks against versus Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, Red Dragon. Again, awesome. Young Bucks are just insanely talented, you know, the Bullet Club and all that, but their style, man. God, these guys, I remember watching a dark match they had before TNA hired them, and I think Eric Bischoff might have been in charge then, or Bruce Pritchard, I can't recall who, and I remember the little scuttlebutt, the little chat they had after this dark match, meaning the office backstage. I happened to be walking by, and I heard a lot of it. And they were like, okay, we got to hire these guys. They're amazing. You know? So you can't hide the fact that these kids are just, I'm calling them kids, that these guys are just amazing. And that was several years ago. They were great then, and they're even greater now. I mean, congrats to you guys, Young Bucks. I mean, good God. They're just phenomenal. Just tremendous. And Bobby Fish, I'm a big fan of this guy. Kyle O'Reilly, it was tremendous. Romero came in as the guest commentator, was on mic. Again, they didn't show him. I don't understand. Maybe they didn't have an extra camera. I'm sure that's what it was. Not knocking him, but I understand how it goes production-wise. I just think you got to show that voice. But I went into that already a few minutes ago. Great match. Amazing match. Insane physicality. Great stuff through and through for the tag team titles. Just great. I mean, just great stuff. Typical what Ring of Honor is, you know what I mean? Just really good. Then a real aggressive matchup with Lethal and Alberto Del Rio, Alberto El Patron. I mean, you know, Alberto Del Rio from WWE fame. For those that aren't too familiar with Ring of Honor, he's in Ring of Honor now, and he wrestled Jay Lethal, who's a television champion. And Jay Lethal won the match, which I was shocked. They put Jay over, and he retained his title, which I thought was awesome. And kudos to Alberto. I don't know the guy, but doing business the right way. I heard he's a pro, and I'm not surprised. He did the right thing. Jay Lethal's arguably one of the top wrestlers in the world, underrated. The guy is amazing, always been amazing, always been a fan of Jay. Super aggressive match. I think I was a little, I'm watching the match, and they got into a little, again, a little Fugazi finish type deal where I think it was a ref bump, and then Jay Lethal hit Alberto with the Truth Martini book there, or the Truth book, whatever it's called, and he hit him in the head. It was a false finish. I'm like, oh God, please, Alberto, kick out. Let's not have the guy lose this way. You know what I mean? Like, it's just very, you know, that type of booking would be a little hokey for Ring of Honor style. You know, I'm like, there's a, you know, sure enough, he kicked out. I'm like, oh, that's a good thing. And then a few minutes later, they did a high spot where Truth hit him on the outside, Alberto, he cracked him with the book. Then lethal injection by Jay Lethal, 1, 2, 3, he wins and retains his title. So it wasn't really, and I think the announcer did a good job explaining it, it wasn't the book that beat. It was the book that stunned, for lack of better terms, Alberto, but the lethal injection is what beat him. So, but I thought these two guys had great chemistry. I thought it was a very physical matchup. Then it was they did it on camera, and it was like Nigel McGuinness came out to join the guys, and then music hit, and who would have thunk it? Here comes Samoa Joe. And Samoa Joe arrives. He returns on TNA's anniversary and returns to his old home and got a massive pop, did Samoa Joe, and cut a great passionate promo and more or less said, whoever wins this Four Corners match, I'm coming after you. For the Ring of Honor World Championship. That's basically what he said for the most part, but it was just very passionate. Great job by Joe in the promo. Really oozed out of who he was and his passion. And then this Four Corners match went down with that big war bear dude, Hansen, who's just tremendously athletic for a large guy. Sicilian psychopath, Elgin, and the World Heavyweight Champion, Jay Briscoe, who I'm a big fan of. And I got to tell you, I was a little surprised. I mean, ref bumps, run-ins, kind of confusing, a lot of moving parts, a lot of stuff going on. I didn't expect that in a Ring of Honor type match when they do such a good job, I should say, of selling the true sport of the contest, shake hands before and after the contest, win, lose, or draw, yada, yada. You know, the athleticism they always have and all that stuff. I was a little surprised they had Memphis style match going on where it's just ref bumps and gimmicks and run-ins. I was very surprised. At the end of the day, the World Heavyweight Champion retained his belt. Jay Briscoe won, kept his belt, but kept his championship, I should say. But even all that stuff happened, nothing taken away from all four of these guys. I thought all four worked their asses off. I really thought it was an exciting Four Corners match for the world title. I did. I think as I get older, more wisdom in the business, I'm not a fan of run-ins and gimmicks and all that stuff. And I've heard other people, wrestling reporters, bitch about it for years. And I was like, they don't know what they're talking about. And I got to tell you the truth. You know, I see their point now. It took me a long time to see it. As I sit back and watch, I mean, sometimes in TNA too, I don't have a voice that I can say, don't do that. I do not have a power role in TNA. WWE does it. TNA does it. You know, Ring of Honor is doing it. I mean, guys, I know why they're doing it, they're doing it to try and protect certain characters so the gimmicks stay strong, and they don't want to hurt the characters, certain characters and the push of a character. They don't want to tarnish certain guys. It's not a political thing. It's a business thing. So that's why they're doing it. They're not doing it to give you a bad show. My heyday was in ECW. We did this stuff all the time, but that kind of was the gimmick. We had, like, there was, like, no rules. It was all about excitement. You know, that's how we did it, you know. And I think Ring of Honor comes closest to doing that when they do these ref bumps and run-ins and kind of confusing stuff. This was exciting. I didn't expect it. I expected these four guys to knuckle up, kick each other's asses, and have this match, and let's see who becomes the new Ring of Honor champ or if Jay Briscoe retains. But you know what? It doesn't take away from the match. Wasn't crazy about the finish. And there was a couple other finishes, you know, some tomfoolery and shenanigans and a couple other matches throughout the pay-per-view. Not every match, but a couple. But you know what? I love the way they ended the show with Samoa Joe coming out. Jay Briscoe has this title in the middle of the ring. Joe gets in the ring and just goes nose to nose with Jay Briscoe. So it's obvious they're going with, you know, Joe is going to get a shot at some point against Jay Briscoe and his World Heavyweight Championship, a Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship. So, you know, it was very, very good ending. I thought the ending felt real, felt legit. The whole show, I really thought if I had to give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down, I'd say thumbs up for sure. I really enjoyed the show. Congrats to Ring of Honor on their 13th anniversary. I thought it was excellent. They rocked Las Vegas. They did their thing. And I hope you guys enjoyed my review, my reaction of Ring of Honor Winner Take All. And that's really, that's it. So this week I will be dropping a pretty cool, a fantasy draft edition of HPM, Human Podcast Machine. We're going to do a top 10, well, everyone wants this one, managers, right? Everybody wants to talk about the managers, all the great managers. Well, myself, my producer Seth, along with the professor Mike Tenay, we're going to break it down, we're going to go through our list, and we're going to argue, love each other, hate each other, do our thing, and I'll drop this Thursday. Top 10 wrestling managers on the fantasy draft edition of the Human Podcast Machine. That's coming at you Thursday. Thank you for downloading and subscribing this reaction to the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. And again, congrats to Ring of Honor on the show. Good job by all the talent. And I thank you again for downloading this. Tell your friends and family what I got going on here on Play.it. Check out the other shows on Play.it. And that's really a wrap, boys and girls. So thank you again. I am Taz. You are not. Ciao.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.